Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast from La Belle Province. In this special mini-episode, you will be hearing the interviews Paul did at TempleCon with Kevin Clark from Ironbox Games and Sam Seggi from Games & Gear. So sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush and enjoy the show.
All right, so here I am with Sam, the man, the legend, Games & Gears.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's it going?
Good. It's been an amazing convention. Good times.
How many years have you been coming to TempleCon? Because I know I've seen you here for years now.
2009? So that's what?
So that'd be 6 years?
6 years, yeah. And loving every minute of it.
Well, you're almost like Kevin Clark, where everyone here knows you. Kevin's been going here 9 years, so you're doing okay. So you've got a booth here, you're selling your...
Actually, this is not my booth. This is the Net Privateer Press's booth, the guys who run the Horde and War Machine events.
Ah.
I'm just here as a manufacturer. What we do in conventions is we support the organizers.
Right.
So any products that are bought, any Games & Gears products that are bought in this convention, a portion of the monies goes to the guys who run these voluntary events. So... We do that for Gen Con, we're doing it for Salute in the UK, we're doing it for Adepticon, and we also do it for the TempleCon guys, for the Net Privateers basically. We're also doing it for CaptainCon as well. And it's a bit different, I just never felt comfortable having a trade stand and just selling stuff and then packing up and going away. I always was like, if we're going to come in, I would like to support the convention some way as well.
Well, you've always been really a community guy, right?
Absolutely, that's how I started.
I mean, going back in the day with your podcast and everything, it was all about community and trying to build the gaming culture.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And if we look at what you've done with Games & Gears, you know, the battle boards, because you knew there was a demand for terrain. So we tried the first battle board Kickstarter, which didn't work out.
No, it didn't.
And then, was that the first Kickstarter you guys ran?
That's the first one we did in
December. And then you did your double-ended brushes.
2012.
I actually sponsored the original battle boards. That was like one of the nine or like 90 or whatever it was.
Thank you, sir.
There wasn't that many. But
no, there wasn't that many. We were no one. Basically, we started the company. Within 2 weeks, we said, this is what we're doing. And within another 2 weeks, we said, here's a Kickstarter. And we had no build-up to it. And we learned...
We launched at Christmas time, too,
and we learned the worst time to launch. This is kind of funny, but I'll get to the point. We launched at Christmas time, so if there's any kind of wisdom I can pass, never do a Kickstarter during Christmas. It's the worst time of doing it.
And tax season probably doesn't work out well either.
No, it doesn't.
Afterwards.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. So we did that. It didn't go up. But however, it helped. It was a good thing because it helped us go back to the drawing board and figure out issues we had with our 1x1 versions, which we kind of discovered along the Kickstarter. For instance, 32 pieces, making like a 6x4 or whatever. Too many pieces to put together. It just takes a long time. Putting a 4x4 amount of pieces, I think it's like 60 or 24 pieces. Too many pieces to put together, you know. So you took about 5-10 minutes to figure out how you want your board to look. And the point was for us in the Mark II version, put four boards together, you got a 4x4. It takes about a minute to 2 minutes to set up. Bam, get gaming. But prior to that, we did our Pro Studio one, which was ultra successful in terms of how much money we raised, basically. It was a fantastic Kickstarter, but we learned to have some build-up time to show the people the brushes, and also get feedback from people who've seen the brushes, and use their feedback as the protocols of the actual Kickstarter.
And that's the double-ended brushes, right?
Double-ended brushes.
So we've actually spoken a bit about those off the air.
Absolutely.
We've actually spoken a bit about it on our podcast. And it's funny because in our group, my co-host Antoine, who you know,
absolutely,
uses one very often, has painted some gorgeous models.
Lovely.
Some competition pieces.
Lovely.
Like winning competition pieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other two of us kind of look at him and go, we don't know how you got that model. Because the brushes had, like we were talking before, so that's an interesting thing I think we should discuss.
Absolutely.
So you were talking to me about defect rate, and I think that's something that people don't realize.
Right.
So I think it colors your image a bit.
Right.
And it certainly colors it, like, in the way I was seeing things. And talking to you, it softens it a little bit.
Right, so we're manufacturers. We're not salespeople. We're not marketing people. I can tell you how the manufacturing process works and exactly what goes through. So when we, the industry standard has a defect rate, and that's 5%. During the Pro Studio Kickstarter, we made about 29,000 brushes.
That's a lot of brushes.
In a space of, I think it was 3 months. And our defect rate was bang on the 5% industry rate. This is the industry. We're used to going industry standard. And it's our first time in this hobby market standards. That's a lot of brushes. 5% of 29,000 is over 1,000 defects, basically.
Yeah.
So a lot of backers got some really good brushes, like Hugo Mate, Antoine, yeah, who paint these competition-winning brushes with. And people still today who've had their Pro Studios swear by them. They love them. You know, they love them.
Well,
but there is a 5%, which is a lot of backers, basically, which have received defect products where brushes splayed, they got defected. However, being a brush maker, we always have a policy of replacing the brushes. So what we learned with that, again, it's always a learning process from us with the Ichibans, that which was our next brush Kickstarter, is we learned that getting it 95% right in this industry, in this hobby miniature industry, is not good enough compared to the mass market. You got to get it 99.8% right. And that's what we did with the Ichibans. And the Ichibans are different. It costs a lot more money for us to make because the quality checks are so stringent and severe that we've only had basically 4 customers with defects, and the total cost for us was about $80 out of making 20,000 Ichibans already and going. We're still making them, basically.
Wow.
So for us, it was learning and understanding the market, which we entered as like a new upstart with the brushes.
Well, you're a hobbyist, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's interesting from a hobbyist point of view that you decided to use your manufacturing know-how.
Absolutely.
To go out there and source. So I think you did something, did you do makeup brushes or something before?
Yeah, so we do makeup brushes for a lot of companies around the world. Some of them are very well known. That's what we do. And I decided to, you know, do Games and Gears. We actually own the actual plants. We don't outsource the brushes. They're all made and owned by us, basically.
Okay.
And we decided to go into the industry because I'm a hobbyist. And I've got my factories to the point where they're comfortable in fulfilling orders to big clients. No problem. And I always wanted to dabble in this industry as an avatar. You've seen me years coming here playing games 24/7, non-stop. So I always wanted to do something, and I was never happy with the brushes I had. So for instance, you know, the real high-end brushes in this market are really good brushes, but they're art brushes, they're watercolor brushes. They're not miniature brushes, right?
Yeah.
And again, for me, I'm always thinking about, you know, my fellow gamers, my community friends. You know, the majority of us, right, we're not going to spend $120 on a full set of brushes.
Well, because most of us won't get the benefit out of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I thought, let's have a good entry-level brush that's better than what a hobby brush is today. And
let's face it, that's not hard.
That's not hard.
That's not harder than what, you know, we get from Army Painter and GW and all these guys, right?
And that's where the Pro Studio basically came. And then we learned a lot from that. A lot of people swore by them. A lot of people were a little bit upset because of the defects, right? But we did honor the replacements. We did replace every single backer's brushes.
Well, the thing is, the people who have the defective ones are always going to be louder than the happy people, right?
Absolutely.
Like in any industry, the people who are complaining are always the ones that are hurt.
Always. But you know what? They helped us. They helped us with...
Well, they give you feedback that's important to know so you can fix the problems.
We learned a lot, basically, through that. Again, the Pro Studios were successful. We've made 250,000 to date now, after the initial 29,000.
That's amazing. Okay.
That's a lot of people with a lot of Pro Studio brushes. We then reinvested that into our Master Series brushes, which is a higher-end Klinsky Sable. And then, finally, during the Pro Studio, I always wanted to bring out the Ichibans. And Hugo, a friend of mine, he loved the Pro Studio stuff. And he won a Golden Demon with them as well, as he said with Anton. He won a Golden Demon with them. And he wanted to do a brush line. And, you know, I said, okay, if he wants to do a brush line with us, I want to make sure it's a really good brush line, because he's got a good name and he's a good friend of mine. So I spent the next 7 to 8 months really just on the drawing board working out, if we're going to do a single-end brush, how will we innovate it and make it different to what's available in the market? And then we came up with the Ichiban, which has been our most successful hobby brush Kickstarter to date. And post-Kickstarter to date has been very successful. As in, we're in a stage now where by March 2015, we won't be able to make as much as there is demand for them. So I've hired two more guys who I've got to train up for 5 months to become master brush makers to just stabilize that capacity that we're at now.
So you can maintain your production capacity?
Yes, sir. And I don't like, I mean, a lot of people say, well, why don't you take on part-timers or, you know, temps?
You can't assure quality.
Spot on. When we bring someone on to increase manufacturing, it means bringing in a human being in who's fully trained, knows how to make a really good brush, and if we start bringing temps in, the qualities will drop. And we're not going to make lots of brushes for the sake of quality. You know, the Ichibans are a premium line brush and the most accessible in terms of price point for what you're paying for as well.
Yeah, and as we were talking about before, I think they're an excellent value. I think retail on them, because I bought them all on Kickstarter, so I'm not sure, but I think MSRP is probably somewhere between $12 and $14.99, somewhere around there.
Correct.
So I think it's very fair for what you get.
10 to 15, I think. 10 to 15, yeah.
And it's for what you get, it's very, very fair. The build quality is excellent.
Thank you, sir.
The fact that they, you know, they come with a protective cover, they're not going to lose, like, those little plastic slips that you lose on every single main brush ever. You know, and like I was telling you, we do painting nights, we travel to paint, and they're very, very convenient.
Thank you, sir.
And I've only tried the stable ones, I haven't tried the synthetics, so I will probably pick up a couple today to give those a whirl.
Yeah, please. A lot of people have been loving synthetics. But the reason why I think many people, you know, swear to our synthetics is that we buy the expensive pair. We don't buy the stuff from China. It's made in England, it's put together in England, and we do pay a fair, pretty hair penny for the actual synthetics. And they are fantastic base coat brushes. So the idea with the synthetics is that you've got three different base coats. You've got size 1, size 2, size 3. Personally, I use size 1 for 28 to 32 millimeters. So when my Chaos Dwarf was running out there painting, I base coated it with size 1. For my Chaos Dwarf ball centaurs, or for my bigger Scorn War Jacks, I use, or medium Scorn War Jacks, I use a size 2, and a big one with a size 3 I use for the big monsters and stuff like that. So that, if you're doing big infantry stuff like that, really good to get the base colors on. And then the heavy work in terms of the blending and the layering, I use the Ichiban Red Sables, basically.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. And the Ichiban are Red Sable.
Yeah. Right. The reason why I went with Red Sable is they're the in-between between synthetics and the Kalinske. The Kalinske is a great brush, don't get me wrong. However, it's a very soft, delicate brush because of the hair. Right?
Right.
And you've got to be...
Well, it's the same animal, it's just the winter coat versus the summer coat, right?
This one is more resilient. So it's pretty much the same hair, right? But it's more resilient. I mean, we've got Lonely Monk PG, PG Lonely Monk, Craig Caton. He's had this set for 7 months. He paints 4 days a week. He's retired, basically, about 1 to 2 hours a day. And he always shows his brushes, and they still hold their point, and they're still crisp, as he also uses our own brush soap as well to extend their life. So... No, we're very proud to make a resilient, high-end quality brush set, premium brush set, that is also at an affordable price.
And you've done a great job. We've been really happy with them. I think you know Guillaume, Guillaume La Machine.
Guillaume, I know him. He's amazing.
Yeah. So he's been using them quite a bit as well to do some of his commission work. And I think he used them in his pistol brush entries. Don't quote me on it, but I think there's some Ichiban in there too. So
tell them to send me the picture so I can post it on the Facebook page.
Will do, will do. All right.
We got battle boards?
Yes, the battle boards.
Yeah,
so those are on the way?
Those are on the
some
way.
Some have already shipped, I believe, have they not?
Yeah, so quick story about the battle boards, what's happened. So we inject them. I own a few injection molding machines. I'm a mold maker as well. I've been in... Nearly 20 years of manufacturing. We injected them, we made them, and then we sent them to a paint factory who paints the boards for us. A big USP was getting them painted. Now, when you place an order with a factory and subcontract them, you pay a deposit. So we pay them a deposit for all the boards, and when they finish the boards, we have to pay the balance before we pick them up. So
right.
We've paid them all the money. Come May, in Dongguan, there were floods, and there were... Massive. 26,000 lightning strikes. I had to fly there because it was so serious with the project. I had to literally fly to Shenzhen. I was in Lohu. You know where Lohu is? It's like the center of Shenzhen. It was pouring like mad, and the floods were still about. We went there. The boards that were kept were all flooded. They were all ranked. I thought we could clean them and send them. But when we actually saw it, we're like, nah, we gotta trash them and remake them. Issue we had, though, is a guy who's got our money... And we paid, good guy, poor guy's factory and the workers, the livelihood is completely trash. he's the guy who paints the boards for us. And we had to make a decision. Well, we don't have any extra money to get them repainted. So we talked to him, and he's insured. He's got to talk to the government agencies or whatever to get the money back and rebuild his factory. So we said, you know what? Get them repainted. But not only that, we've got a passion of quality and dedication. And it's like, well, hold on a second. We've got a chance of doing something extra. So what we've done, and I'll show you when we go back, we've reinforced the boards. We put some more reinforcement. So when there is hangover, not only were they sturdy before, but now they are super sturdy. You can take them out 8 inches, 12 inches, and they hardly bend. You've got to put a lot of weight onto it to bend. So you put a lot of hard reinforcement. You can stand on it, and it'll be fine. I mean, obviously, if you weigh like a ton, it's going to strain, right?
I jumped on it at Gen Con. It didn't hurt me at all.
Yeah, so Sam here,
Sam weighs about 300 pounds.
Sam weighs about 300 pounds. He jumped on it. It was fine. So we made it really sturdy because that torque is important. Other boards in the market, not so sturdy. We also injected it all again at our cost. So that part was fine because it's kind of fast injecting it. But what's taken so long is getting the same factory who's got the money for the...
Right.
The whole money for the
family. Repainting.
To do the repainting. And in honesty, you have... When it comes to business, I've been in business a long time, you've just got to take a stroke. When something like that happens, you've got to take a step back.
Well,
and you've got to say, guys, get it done. When you can get it done, the backers will understand. We understand. And get out. And what's taken 7 months is the painting. And we finished most of the painting come December. Hawk are in England and USA. And the guys are going through about 12,000 of them.
That's the urban battle boards.
Urban battle boards. Drop Zone, from last I heard, are still in customs. And I'm hoping they'll be released this coming week. So we can start working on them. Hawk Urban Battle Board should be shipped in February.
Okay.
All we've got to do is get everything ready to be dispatched. We've got the inner boxes. We've got the master cartons already. We are packing them. It's just a lot of boards to pack, basically.
Right.
And not only that, we're taking what we learned from the Ichiban, is we're not going to have a 5% defect rate. We're going to make it 99.8%. So 99.8% of you guys... Hopefully, you'll love your boards, like it's the Ichiban guys, and be happy with it. And that just takes a long time to do, because my guys have to check each board about 3 to 4 minutes, 12,000 boards, also the clips. There's manpower.
It takes time. There's no easy way around it, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is, you're talking about the factory. So the factory is repainting them, but that factory has to rebuild.
Yes.
And they have other clients, and they have to keep revenue coming in to keep themselves open.
Yes.
So they can't put your stuff... necessarily ahead of everyone else. They have to try to do it simultaneously or fit you in.
Yes.
So it becomes time management, and it's complicated.
You get it. Yeah. So we've had to deal with that. But however, you know what?
Backers don't necessarily understand that, right?
But to be honest, most of the backers understand it. I understand there is some frustration, and you know what? It's completely understandable. I would be frustrated as well. And we're not kind of... Because we're manufacturers and we're not really good at talking, we make stuff, right? We haven't spent a long time in marketing or sales. We haven't learned how to do that kind of stuff yet.
I would argue you're pretty good at talking, Sam.
Oh, really? No, but we don't know how to project ourselves and do it right and all that kind of stuff. We're pretty much, this is how we're doing it. We don't have, like, you know, a photo studio facility to make everything brand new and shiny.
Yeah.
We rely on other people to do that for us, basically.
Right.
We are literally just manufacturers. Bottom line, that's it. So the majority of people, funny enough, we've got over a couple of hundred requests of backers who want to pledge more, and we've got over 1,800 battle board pledge requests post Kickstarter as well. We just can't wait to get it out to your hands so we can sell it to the general public as well.
Right, and then you can start recouping your money.
We know, well, that too, but we know it's going to sell. And the reason why we want to...
Well, there's demand, right?
There's a crazy demand, and it's getting... There's a little bit of stress on our side because a lot of people are coming saying, I want to add another battle board to my Kickstarter, or I saw your battle board on the Kickstarter, I want to buy them, when are they coming out? And our line is, well, we need to fulfill our backers first. As soon as we sort them out, we'll get them. And even backers are saying to us now, oh, how do I add another set? I'm like, well, you know what? After what happened last time, let's make sure everything is ready in the warehouse. So when you want to add them, you hit the click button on the internet, and it gets sent to you the same day.
That's you don't have to worry about it at that point.
We
don't
have to worry. We got so paranoid after that set, we just want to make sure everything is good before we let you. So we reckon, like the Ichibans, these bad boys are going to go, which is important for us, because if you followed how we do our Kickstarters for the products, we don't stop. We do have other boards that we want to make. This is an exclusive that go with the battle boards, and they are beautiful. And
then so expansion sets, essentially.
The next generation expansion set that add on to your boards, basically.
That's awesome. That's and we're working. News.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a, for us, it's about, you know, building, you know, making the money, reinvesting it continuously into making. That's how we survive. That's what we love doing. That's what we live and breathe. Just expanding lines, basically.
Well, anyone who knows you knows they know the passion, right? They see the passion.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're always at cons. You're always outgoing. You're talking to people. You're, you know, I was talking to someone else. Salt Sam's on his booth. He must be out shaking hands and kissing babies, right? That's what you do. You're always involved. You're always here. You're super passionate about the hobby.
Absolutely.
So it's great that someone like that is doing something to help the other gamers, right? By developing products and you know, that we need.
Absolutely.
Filling that hole in the market.
Well,
so
know,
good on you.
We're not shy of it. We want the battle board to take over. We think we've got the next generation set, basically. Once the backers get in their hands, I think, you know, 99% of them, love them. Everyone who's got the Warsmith terrain,
yep.
They're speaking nothing but good things. And that, to me, you know, we're always, before people get them, we're like, you know, what are they going to think? Are they going to love them? Because we love the stuff we make. But
I bought the inn at Gen Con.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of the Gen
Con? Oh, it's an amazing piece. I love it.
Thank you, sir. So, you know, we put a lot of work, sweat and blood into sculpting, making it, producing the molds. And the fact that the feedback we've got from Warsmith has been overwhelmingly amazing, I've got a feeling that battle boards are going to be huge. And my only worry is going to be, how am I going to be able to supply the demand for the battle boards
market? Yeah, meaning demand is tough, right?
It's tough. That's another growing pain as well.
Yeah, and you're not the only one to experience it. We've seen that with, you know, other gaming companies. I mean, if you look at Hawk when he launched, right?
Yeah.
There was that huge demand at Salute. Everyone was like, oh my god, this game's going to be great. And then there was just no models.
But on the flip side, we're very honored. For instance, Gen Con. We're working at Gen Con now. We're one of the manufacturers. Adepticon.
Right.
Right. Massive convention. They came to us. We're making stuff for them. We're very honored. Salute, 6,000 attendees. We're now making stuff for them. So we've had at the back of the Kickstarter, the battle boards, everything that's happened there, the Pro Studio Kickstarter, the Ichiban, how we react to customers via retail, how we support the community. We're getting a lot of industry people coming to us, even miniature companies, which I can't name anything, who want to work with us and extend the lines. And our mantra is, you know what? As long as we can innovate, make the experience better, we'll do it.
That's great to hear. Sam, I won't take up any more of your time because you're busy.
Thank you,
and
sir.
It's one of those cons where you talk nonstop, so your voice must be going.
Thank you.
You stole me a game. I saw you say something about Scorn. You have Scorn
here? I got a tier 4 of this Scorn army, a Lord Assassin Morgul ready to go.
How many points?
50 points, tier 4.
Ooh, 50 points. I might be able to cobble 50 points together.
I bought Xerxes, the Fear of Helak. Can't wait to bait him. I'm a bit gutted, I can't play with him this weekend, but...
So,
Captain Con. Guys, go to Captain Con.
So, last night, I built and painted... my God, I can't remember what it's called. The new thing they just launched, the big crocodile, the gator.
Oh, the crocodile battle. Oh my god, that is beautiful.
So my buddy Dan's running around with a fully painted one because I brought my airbrush with me from Montreal.
Privateer Press, man, they make some mean machine miniatures. They're great.
Yeah, no,
I love them.
It's awesome, and you know they're doing some great stuff and got some great, you know, great product coming out. So yeah, all that to say, you owe me a game. I don't know if you're gonna have time today.
I probably will. Go easy on me. I'm a casual player.
I haven't played in years.
Oh, so yeah.
We're good.
We're good. We're good.
All right, Sam. Well, I'll let you go. Thanks again.
Cheers, man.
And I'll see you at Adepticon.
See you at Adepticon,
sir.
Take
care. So I'm here with Kevin Clark, industry legend, second best known guy in miniature wargaming after Ross.
I don't know. Probably third after Ross.
Ross gets two because he's that famous.
It's Ross and the legend. It's two guys.
So, see, first time I met you, you were with
Privateer, I think.
Probably.
And then after that was Cool Mini.
Yeah.
And now you're with Ironbox.
Ironbox Games is a company that me and Justin McCoy started up.
Better known as Mr. Justin from Secret Weapon.
Yeah, Mr. Justin from Secret Weapon Miniatures. We started it up tail end of 2013.
Has it been that long?
December, literally the tail end.
Oh, okay.
After Gen Con, so 2015 effectively. Or 14. I don't even know what year it is.
We're 2015 now, it's okay.
Yeah, oh goodness.
It's day three of the con, I expect this.
Yeah. Andy Clark's my hero!
Thanks, Ross!
And that was Ross, yeah.
So we started up that company because we wanted to make cool games and do cool stuff with cool people, so that's what we do. We got Angry Sheep that's been out for a little over half a year now.
Yep.
That's
awesome game.
Is super great.
Antoine loves it. I love it too, but Antoine really loves it.
And then we got Skid Marks coming out. God willing, it'll be up on Kickstarter before the end of March, hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Right. And I'm actually going to interview Jan a bit later.
Awesome.
Because I played the demo of that, and I thought it was an amazing game. So
me too.
I'm going to be backing. I'm going to be backing that one.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, it's super fun. Like I really.
So you got one.
I really love.
50,000 to go.
Well, you know what is. What's the rate? About 870 something. Yeah. 870 something to go. So, you know, everybody get in on it. It'll be great. Skid Marks is Jan will talk a lot more about it, but what really got me about it is that it's just a fun game, right? And there's so many games that come out that are so serious, or they're too silly, or they don't have that kind of...
It's a good compromise.
It has such a great balance of all, just the right amount of all the things, right? Like, it's just crunchy enough, it's just silly enough,
well,
it's just cutthroat enough,
it's
fun.
It's silly enough that my wife would play it.
Yeah.
The learning curve is super low.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very simple. The dice have pictures on them.
Yeah.
Do what pictures say do.
Yeah.
Win game. Yay. But there's enough meat there in strategy and planning the backstabs and planning the maneuvers.
When to know, when to re-roll things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's meat there for real gamers. Well, quote-unquote real gamers. Yeah. Sorry if I offend anyone.
Hardcore gamers.
Oh, good term. Yeah. Hardcore gamers. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it works. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. Hardcore. It makes it sound manly.
It sounds great 3 days into the con.
So there's enough meat there for the hardcore gamer, but it's easy enough for the casual gamer.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. It's really creepy right now, by the way. I'm watching another interview while we're sitting here talking, and I don't know why it's unnerving me, but it's freaking me out, because I'm watching an interview while I'm doing an interview. It's just
paradox.
Weird. It's just weird.
Space-time continuum may explode.
You're listening to me watching a TGN interview right now. That's what you're listening to.
Well, TGN will get more viewers than I'll get listeners. So,
I name-dropped him, right? So you can link to it and be like, we talked about you in this interview. And then Polar Bear will post it.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, I'm here at the show hanging out with Tectonic Graph Studios because Dan needed some help. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it this year because of some things that came up. And he's like, well, I'll fly out and do the thing. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no to a plane ticket. So
yeah, exactly. And Tectonic Craft Studios, for those who don't know, are purveyors of finely crafted laser-cut MDF terrain, objectives, all kinds of good stuff.
The finest engineered laser-cut terrain that I know, period.
And they actually...
There's great stuff out there.
Yeah.
But Dan's designs are far and away the most intricate and the best that I know. They just are.
He has probably had the nicest... Kickstarter for a product of that type that I've seen. Definitely.
Kind of. His Kickstarter is a long story. You should talk to him about it sometime. We could tell the tale. The tale is kind of a tale of hills and learning. And it was that early era of Kickstarter where a lot of us didn't know better. So you do a thing and you're like, yeah, it should be great. And then you're like, oh God, I only got a third of what I needed.
Because he was doing the Kickstarter to buy the laser cutting machine.
Right. And then his first one burned out on him. So he had to build another one. Chewed up a bunch of his money and so
shipping
on.
Shipping costs. Everyone always gets burned on the shipping. No one ever plans for that.
Nobody plans
for
shipping. I always tell people, man, whatever you come up with for your cost, double it for shipping. Hands down. I did a panel here last year. I said it, and everybody in the room went, really? And I'm like, you're welcome. Because all of you confused people,
and
you remember this conversation.
And no one understands, right? It's like, it's great that that box is made, and it's got 10 cents of plastic in it, so it really should cost nothing, but they're making money. Except boxes take space, and anything takes space costs money to ship.
Yep. I've worked on a lot of Kickstarters, a lot of really successful Kickstarters.
Well, with Cool Mini, right? The Relic Knights and the...
And I can tell you that on average, of all the Kickstarters that I know, which is many, aside from just the Cool Mini ones, but
a lot of people publish their data and all that, and I watch it because it's kind of like...
It's relevant.
It's my life these days.
Yes.
But, like, I look at a lot of that stuff, and I have never seen a shipping cost less than 30% of the total Kickstarter value. Less than. I've seen as far as 60 for projects that were bulky or heavy.
Yeah, well, exactly. It depends.
It's intense.
You know, if you're shipping laser cut MDF, for example,
yeah,
that is going to cost a fortune because that stuff weighs.
I think he charges a flat rate of like $13 or $15 or something on his website, and it just covers his ship costs.
Yeah.
Right? And people are like, that's a lot of money for shipping. It's like, yeah, it is. Because that's shipping is expensive. It really is.
And it got more expensive, which also screwed over a lot of people on Kickstarter because no one saw it coming, and then all of a sudden, it went, what, 20%, 3%, something?
Yeah, a lot of places. Crazy. So it's an adventure. Plan for your shipping. That's the moral of this story.
Right.
If you take anything away from this interview, shipping's expensive. Double your budget.
make sure Antoine listens to it because he keeps talking about trying
something. He keeps wanting to do that thing with the
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You've seen it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, those are great.
I think you commented on that.
Yeah, I keep telling him he needs to talk to me because I know people who do things. It's really my only skill in life. I know people who do things.
I think with the baby on the way and everything, he's not quite there yet.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's why I know people who do things because I don't have any of that stuff. Just live on an island and...
Yeah, you know,
transfer medical records for a living. Day jobs are rough. I don't know how anybody lives with day jobs. It's hard.
We've wandered off course. We were talking about
really
Iron
far,
Box,
too.
Right?
That was
Skid marks.
Yeah. So hopefully before the end of February, we'll see the Kickstarter up.
Oh, really? That early? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We're the art is at like 90%. The 3D models are done. It's just a matter of getting the tooling and. You know, paying for the print run and all that stuff, which is where we start to need the money. Since our graphic designer and artists kind of have been very generous with their time, waiting for the Kickstarter to pay. So, it's been really good. We're looking forward to it. There's a Facebook page that's up.
Okay, great.
For it. I think it's Facebook/SkidMarksTheGame or SkidMarksGame, and I should know that, but I really don't remember right now.
It's okay. We'll put it in the show notes. No problem.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
It's day three of the con, man. Yeah, no one's expecting much.
And you'll see pictures from TempleCon, because Jan's been taking pictures.
Awesome.
And, there's lots of good stuff.
Oh, I like the way you pronounce that, Jan.
Awesome. Years of practice. Years.
Because he's actually French descent.
I'm pretty sure.
Because he was speaking French to me during the demo.
Yeah, he does that.
And confusing the girls who were sitting there
and
speaking Spanish
to
each other.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. It was convenient, because he didn't realize I was, you know... French speaking.
That'll show up.
So I just jumped right in, and he was like, okay, let's do this. You know?
I missed. You could do that, but I won't know where I am. I'll know it's French, though.
Oh, yeah.
When we started doing, when I was at CMOD, we worked on Ravage Magazine, right? So I worked
right.
I was the editor-in-chief for the first four issues or something. And a lot of the articles that we got from Ravage were the original painting articles from the French version.
Yes.
Well, we got them in French. And we got them and needed to turn them around really quick. So
I actually know some people that worked on translating some of that stuff.
Later ones,
later,
yes.
Later.
Yeah. So what I got to do was to just translate them with a machine, like, say, Google.
Oh, God.
And I don't know, for anybody listening, if you've ever directly translated French into Google.
It is a horrible mess.
English, half of the time, we're like, oh, it mostly makes sense. And the other half of the time, it looks like somebody threw all the words in a bag and then sprayed them on the screen.
Yeah.
Like most of the time, English and French, their syntax lines up. Sometimes it doesn't.
Oh,
and when it doesn't, it hurts.
So you have to go back and edit it, which actually takes longer than translating it directly.
But only if you know French. And I do not.
Yeah.
I know more now.
Well,
I knew more then. I don't think I know it anymore.
Well, if it ever becomes an issue again, right? You've got me on Facebook, you've got Anton, we're happy to help.
We'll make it happen. Angry Sheep, we translated into, I think, French and Spanish. It's all on the packaging in the box, so it's bilingual throughout, or trilingual.
Yep.
It's trilingual a word.
And it is, in fact.
Good.
And that's a game that is fun to play, so simple, and it's a beer and pretzels game.
Absolutely.
But you have so much fun playing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I have it in my bag all the time, right? So we'll, like, at the game store, we'll be hanging out, go to the bar to get a drink, and break it out, play some of that, play around, maybe play some love letters, play whatever.
Exactly. I decided more game stores need taps.
Amen. It's my next Kickstarter. It's not, but it should be.
We'll
really
talk.
It should be.
We'll talk.
A way better plan. It's a lot of money in booze.
More than in the gaming, yeah. More than in the
gaming. You know, I have long said in this industry that people who get into gaming because they think they're going to make a lot of money
are stupid.
They're misinformed.
They're pipe dream.
They're misinformed. Like, a lot of us come in here and we look like we're riding, you know, we're living a life. But that's because we're, like, here on a company's dime with a per diem that's not our money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can spend somebody else's money like a pro.
That's usually the way it works.
But, you know, like, I've never made that much money in the industry. I've never been, like in debt for anybody I've ever worked for or anything, but other than myself.
Yeah.
But
well, that's often the case with a startup, right?
You know... Nobody ever told me when you start a business, you don't start collecting a paycheck at the same time.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the way that works.
I feel misled. But, like, everybody who's here is here because it's a labor of love, right? We love what we do.
Yeah, no one expects to get rich doing it. You just want to do something you're happy doing, right?
And, you know, like, I was hanging out with the Broken Egg guys last night, Jason Flanter and Adam, and like, talking about the old times when I used to judge tournaments and tournament that I ruined for Jason and how he hated me for years and I didn't even know. And like, all
that sounds
stuff.
Like a good story.
And like, you know, all these, it's really tragic actually. It was like, I made two really bad calls when I was judging ever where I called the game wrong and it lost the game for somebody. And it was like the finals. It was the last round of Nationals, right?
Oh.
Way back in the day.
With minions!
And that, you know, so that was kind of a thing. And, like, I didn't sleep for, like, 2 weeks after that because we knew 5 minutes after the game that it was the wrong call because, I went to read a thing. What I read was the FAQ entry. I needed to read the whole card. I didn't go back and read the whole card again because the FAQ entry picked up, like, a sentence after the sentence I needed to read.
Oh.
So we made the wrong call. And it cost
me. So it was a rules interaction thing that you were...
Yeah, and it was complicated and whatever. Yeah. But, you know, it was a whole thing. And it's funny because when he told me, I was like, that was you. I didn't remember it was him because that was the first year he ever did tournaments and it was the last year I did tournaments. So, like, it was this transitional window and then I didn't know him again until years later after he didn't care anymore.
Right.
Right? So it never really clicked in my brain and I'm like, I totally forgot. I didn't even, like, it didn't sink in ever.
Oh, it was your tournament I wrecked.
And thanks for the beer. It's funny, but, like, all that things, like, the only reason I'm in the industry still is the people. You know, I come to shows like this, I get to hang out with, like, you and other folks that are here that I don't see otherwise, right? And being able to hang out and have these conversations and talk shop about stuff and have a good time in this thing that we all do.
Are you going to Adepticon? Oh, you are going to Adepticon.
Yeah, we're going to Adepticon. I'll be there with Secret Weapon and Justin, and we'll be there rocking it. That's Tablescapes true. Will be there. Come get them. They're freaking gorgeous.
I own two.
Congratulations.
One of my co-hosts owns... two or three as well, so...
They're so amazing. I'm getting a set from Justin right now to build... Infinity's gotten big in our local store. So we're building this... There's a guy who made this modular, like, out of cardboard and stuff and foam, made this modular, like, city set. So it was a 4x4 table, but it was all 1x1 foot squares with these walls, and then he built it so you could stack them, so they just go into this box. And we're like, that's awesome! I'm like, you know it'd be better if the base wasn't cardboard. And they were tables.
Yeah. Right?
So we're getting the tables together with all the terrain and everything. So we're building these awesome, like, really intricate, cool, like, infinity tables and stuff. It's just good fun. God, those things are cool. They're so cool.
Yeah, tables and stuff's awesome.
It is probably one of my favorite products.
It'd be cool to talk to Mr. Justin if you can arrange that, wink, wink.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even a thing. That's easy.
Buy him in Manhattan.
Yes. Justin loves to talk to people. I mean, he's the same thing. He's doing this stuff because he loves it, right? Yeah. He loves the hobby.
He makes a living at it. It pays the bills, and he gets to do something he loves. And really, in life, that's about all you can ask for.
You know what? I've been so blessed in my life that I've never really worked only crappy jobs, you know? Like, yeah. I know so many people who get up in the morning and hate what they do. And I have a day job right now that's, you know, not has anything to do with this stuff, which is what I've been doing professionally for... almost 15 years now, right? But it pays the bills, and I like the people I work with. You know, my boss is super gracious to just let me go to shows whenever I want to go.
Yeah, that's great. Right? I told my boss last week I was coming to this, and he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, I send him the schedule for the conventions for this year, and I'm like, so I'm going to need, like, 4 weeks off over the next 6 months. And he's like, all right, sounds good. And he's like,
so long as they know about it.
Right. He understands, and he's cool about it. And I... So, but like, and what I do is super boring. Like, it's data entry work, basically, and reading medical records, which are depressing, and nobody should ever do. And like,
it's nice to see it hasn't tarnished your outlook on life.
I was started out a sarcastic bastard. I will go out a sarcastic bastard.
You and I share something in that regard, then.
There are a few things in Earth that could probably change that. So, like, you know, I'm doing this thing, and it eats up so much of my time, but at the same time, you know, pays the bills, so I don't know.
Well, hopefully someday it'll pay the bills.
Being able to, the day job, right?
Oh, the day job, yeah.
Somebody just won a Flames of War tournament. That's what's going on in the background.
I think before they're yelling that Minions won the, was it Masters?
I think
Masters?
It sounded like Minions won a tournament. It's not Masters. It's one of the qualifiers.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like. Who won that thing, Tom? Did you hear? The tournament that just ended? Who was it?
Which tournament was it?
Oh, it was
the Hardcore? Yeah.
Minions won Hardcore. That's
Minions
intense.
Won Hardcore. Well, you know you see Minions lists everywhere now.
Yeah, the new Gatorman stuff's intense.
The Sacro Vault's awesome. I painted one last night.
I saw somebody building it. I don't think it has enough candles.
I didn't put the candles on last night. I told the person, because they want it to be painted for today.
Yeah.
So I put about 5 hours into it. And I got most of the detailing done on the gators that are on it and stuff. But yeah, I was like, the candles will go, when I get back home, I'll take my time, I'll do the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw somebody was building one, actually, right over across from where we're sitting right now, on Thursday. And it was building two.
One
for somebody else.
I actually spoke to him, yep.
And he's like, yeah, this is the pile of candles. And it's like this, like, 2x2 square on the table of just candles.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
crazy.
That's a couple candles, man. That's intense.
That's crazy. So, candles and skulls.
Yeah.
Not as many skulls as a GW toy.
Candles and skulls sounds like a hardcore band.
That would be a cool band.
It would be.
Trademark.
Make that band.
Trademark that.
Gonna do it. It's gonna be my band. It's not gonna be my band. Huh? Musically inclined? Not this guy. So... Yeah, I think that's impressive. That means one of the things. It's cool. Anyways, the industry's cool. It's and people get down on communities a lot and everything, but this show I think is such a great example of what a good group of people looks like, right?
Well, it's such a good mix.
It's like 500 something people in there playing games, having a good time.
Yeah, it's the minis. It's the
everybody remembers
steampunk. It's the everything, yeah. And all the two cultures mix.
Everybody remembers everybody else. They come in, they have a good time. You know, you sit down, you go play a tournament, then you go play some magic on the tables afterwards.
It's like a once a year family dinner, right?
It is. Everyone except you aren't like I'm not sitting next to Aunt Ruth again. Like I'm not doing it. That doesn't happen. Great.
Well, instead, you're sitting next to Ross. So.
Yeah. I love Ross. Ross is the best. Anybody who doesn't know Ross, you're the minority.
So yeah.
That's sad for you. But you'll meet him because you'll come to Kingdom Con. Kingdom Con. It's in April. Ross, what's Kingdom Con?
Ross Con, right?
Kingdom Con is at 23rd to the 26th of April in San Diego, Mission Valley. Our website will be up. And it's already up. And all the stuff is on there. You can check it out.
Awesome.
It's going to be full of gaming and good times.
Antoine sends his regards, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Hey!
This is for our podcast.
Even better! Hello, podcast people! I'm drinking beer.
He's toasting us, folks. He's toasting us. I'll see if Ross has some time later we can chat.
Awesome. I do.
Awesome. All right.
So, you should absolutely come to KingdomCon. It's a... A show that Ross has been putting on for years. I've been helping him out with. I think it's the sixth year this year. We get bigger every year.
I know. When was it again? I know you just said. What month?
April 23rd through 26th, I think.
Yeah, that's probably too many right. Cons for me in a row. But
I just look it up. So I don't say it wrong. I'll feel stupid.
Well, he just said the right one, so it's okay.
I don't. I just don't have faith. I'll keep looking while I'm still talking. So yeah, KingdomCon. If you've ever been to TempleCon, it's kind of like that. But only the gaming part.
Okay.
Right?
So no chicks in corsets? Cause
no, the there's still the... No, just... That's part of the gaming part. I don't...
Okay,
is
excellent.
Is that not part of the game? I always assumed it was the gaming part.
It's part of the gaming I like.
So, it's my thought. I was pretty sure that that's what it was. So
when I was playing Skidmarks earlier, the girl we were playing against had a corset on it, basically left nothing to the imagination. And it was the most distracting game. Eventually, she had a little coat that she zipped up over it so I could actually focus on the game.
23rd to 26th. That is correct, sir.
April 23rd to the 26th?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And come like the Facebook page. It's the best place to get information about the show. It's on there. Kingdom Dash Con.
And well, if you and Ross are putting it on, it's hard to go wrong.
Hey, it's a 4-day party of excitement and wonderfulness. You know, and it's in San Diego, so you know you can bring the family, then go to Disneyland. You can hang out and play games and drink beer or whatever you want.
I like it.
I'm not picky. The hotel is, you know, right there. It's San Diego in April is like, it's awful. It's usually like 70, 73 degrees.
Oh, no.
Which apparently in California terms is freezing. Yeah, which is a lie because it's like 4 outside right now. There's like 17 feet of snow behind me. I live in Seattle. 17 feet of snow would literally take Seattle off the map.
Yeah, there would, I mean, this isn't as
would,
bad as Montreal.
Next year we'd all be sitting around talking about, remember how Seattle was a place? like no. No, I don't anymore. It's been too long.
Awesome.
It's all hills. You can't have 17 feet of snow in hills. It doesn't go together. You need flat land for that kind of snow.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Seattle gets like 2 inches of snow and that's the end of the city, right?
No, it really actually is. Seriously. Not
because I know Vancouver's like that. Vancouver's not far away.
Same way.
And it's like they forget they're part of Canada.
Yeah. It's just Canada. It's just Seattle North.
I don't know who the heck would decide to put a Winter Olympics there. Like, they have no snow. Yeah, why would you do that? Anyway, back to gaming.
I'm not going
to
talk about the Olympics. Watch Death to Smoochie. It tells you everything you know. Also, it's a phenomenal movie with one of the best pratfalls in film, done by the late, great Robin Williams.
Well, okay.
He falls down, like, this 30-foot stairwell and ends, like, with a header into this wall. And he did it. And the entire time, you're just watching, like, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. Wall. He didn't make it. It's great. It's brilliant.
Check that out then.
I'm shooting for like 3 more really bizarre tangents before you manage to say goodbye.
Well, I have no rush. I just changed the battery, so we got plenty of time. But I think we
challenge accepted.
I think we talked about everything we need to talk about.
It's true.
So on that note, I will let you save your breath. Save your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you bring any minis to the con?
I don't play games.
No,
it's not true. I played a bunch of love letters last night. Actually, I played more games at Temple Bar. No. Baron. It's always Baron. with Ross.
Tangent one.
Success.
Two more to go.
I play more games at TumbleCon than I've ever played at any other show. It's interesting. It's a thing.
Right, see, I played 2 games of War Machine yesterday. Those were the first 2 games I played in probably 3 years. So
these things happen.
Yep. Apparently. Kevin, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Anytime.
You guys can't see I'm shaking his hand in a manly fashion.
It's true. It was very aggressive. My hand hurts a little bit now.
Oh, sorry.
I'll be more dancing next time. Not in a bad way.
I don't like the limp handshake thing.
Yeah. No, it's super weird. You got to do the fist bump, and then you got to describe this. Ready? You're like, yeah. Oh, sorry. That happens sometimes. It's my fault, not your fault. It's okay.
That was horrid.
That
was uncomfortable. All right, Kevin. Thanks again. I'll speak to you soon.
Have fun, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio, and Antoine at ElTonioBerg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.